Okay, welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. We have Don Harkins with us. Before we take a phone call, Don, why don't you give them the address, because there's a lot of shortwave listeners that don't even use a computer. We seem to bypass a lot of these listeners on shortwave that don't even know how to work a computer, and certainly they're vital for our support to come to us as well. So let's have those directions, Don, for the listeners on shortwave to
subscribe. Oh, sure. You can get a hold of us. Send us a couple of bucks, and we'll send you a trial sample of the Ad Observer, or you can subscribe for $25 a year. And our address is the Ad Observer at P.O. Box 457. That's P.O. Box 457 in Spirit Lake. That's two words, Spirit Lake, Idaho. And the zip is 83869. You can also give us a call at area code 208. Isn't that something? The entire state of Idaho is still area code 208.
That means it's not highly populated yet.
Yeah, I think, we're being invaded by California at this time, but we're still somewhere around 1.3 million people.
You mean Idaho is being Californicated?
It is. You know, it happened to Washington and Oregon earlier in the previous decade, and now it's happening here in Idaho. So our phone number is area code 208-255-2307, and we encourage people to go ahead and correspond with us either by mail or telephonically. Yeah, we understand that there's a lot of folks out there who are not hooked up to the web, and although it's a marvelous information resource, I think that maybe we're going to find out in a couple more years that perhaps their time was better spent not engaging in an area of expertise and a research mode that will end up going away, and we'll all be going back to books anyway.
Now, listeners, we'll give out that information at the conclusion of the next commercial pause for the free enterprise cause. Let's bring up, I believe we have Paul in Florida. Is that correct? Hello, Paul.
Yeah, hi there. I'm in soon-to-be fluttered Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, you're going to get nailed.
Yeah, well, see,
according to the news.
The thing that's funny about this is 8 o'clock last night, that thing was a Category 1, okay? And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was up listening to Coast to Coast, and I decided to turn on the weather, and it went from a 1 to a Category 5 in the space of about 7 hours. Now, who's kidding who here? And it has the lowest barometric pressure in the center of any storm in the Atlantic or the Caribbean in history. It beat the previous one by about 3 or 4 points. And as it stands now, there's a jet stream coming down from the northwest that is going to push it either a little to the south or maybe it'll go a little to the north. But over here in the West Coast, I really don't anticipate it being as bad as the West Coast, because the good news is when it goes over land, the friction from the land will sometimes decrease the intensity of the storm. However, it's going to be over the Everglades and not over what you would call solid land. So I suspect by the time it gets here, I think we're going to get maybe a low to a medium 3. But if it comes in from the west, all these areas out in the western parts of Broward County and Dade County and Palm Beach County have these new developments that have made incursions into the Everglades. And the drainage, I don't anticipate, is going to be very, very good at all. And I'm at least we're going to get some really severe flooding down here. But this manipulation thing, I can't understand how that went from a 1 to a 5 in 7 hours. I just can't.
Good thought, Paul. Thank you for your call. We'll be back with Don Harkins and that information to subscribe. Once again, stay with us. Yes, Don Harkins is with us, and we have another caller. But once again, that information, Don, for people to subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Please, let's have that again.
P.O. Box 457 in Spirit Lake, Idaho. Two words, Spirit Lake, Idaho. And the zipper is 83869. And you can call us at area code 208 855-2307. And for sure, the independent presses of this country need your support. We spend way too much money supporting the publications that advertise all the products that we don't need, the products that are killing us, and then they go ahead and print the stories that interest them, the corporate construct that's running our country into the ground. So support your local presses. Stop supporting the dominant media.
Oh, man. Yeah, the groundswell of interest in your publication is an indicator of the need for the truth.
I think that you're absolutely correct. As we maybe started 9 years ago, a little bit ahead of the curve, but we're definitely right in the middle of the ball game now, and a lot of people are coming online. We're not viewed as whacked, I suppose, as maybe we were in 1997, and people are starting to figure it out. So we've got to really encourage one another to get out there. I know we all have a lot of bumps and bruises from attempting to reach people in years past, but the events of the last year or so, people are much, much more open to suggestion than they were. So I just kind of put some ointment on those battle scars and get back out there into the ring and start talking to people again, because now's the time and people are listening.
Very good point here. You're 9 years into publication. I'm in my 10th year of broadcasting. If we were not relevant and on target with our topics, we wouldn't be publicating and pontificating the information over the airwaves like I'm doing. It just wouldn't be happening if we weren't right on the money, Doug.
Sure.
Let's go to John in Tennessee. John, welcome.
Hello, Chris. Scott.
How are you, John?
Hello, John.
Can you speak up?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I've got a few points. You know, you said some things that were very interesting, both of you. 30 years ago, I went into the Air Force. I was a weapons mechanic. And one thing that I've learned is America has never had a weapon that they haven't used at least once. So my question, and then a comment, the question would be, and it's rhetorical, actually, why on earth would they wake up and, first of all, go and exhume bodies to get a hold of a 1918 flu bug? You know, why would they do it if they had no plans? Let sleeping dogs lie, especially something that both of you have said. You know, one report was 500 million, 600 million, whatever it was, people dying from it. Why would you disturb that?
Well, you know, it is a really interesting question. And what I've noticed, and I think that you can just sit back and think about just about every avenue and facet of research that has gone forward since the Dark Ages, and you can see that research, good, bad, and different, doesn't really matter. It goes forward of its own inertia. A scientist can die, somebody picks up his notes and takes off and runs with them. It just continues going forward. It doesn't matter whether it's good research, bad research. It is good for people, bad for people, good for the planet, bad for the planet. That's not the point. It's research, it's science, and it goes forward. And these guys can't help themselves. They found a specimen, so they're going to start playing with it. It's that simple. It's just a human nature thing.
The sounds of it, they didn't find the specimen. They went out and looked.
Yeah, okay, exactly. They went out in search of the specimen knowing it existed, and then once they got it, they did what they are commanded by their human natures to do, which is to go play with it.
That's educated idiots. The other point that I was getting to, and I hope I can recall it, you were talking about, well, here's what it is briefly, is 2 months ago, I was the only one that was calling into the local radio stations with this kind of talk. Today I was listening to a program, and lo and behold, this man called in, and he was right on the money. The talk show host did the same thing to him that he does to me, and pretty much sidestep it to hit the dump button. You know, people have to understand what the agenda is. You know, it's an illusion. It's the man behind the curtain, Chris. We've talked about it before. It's like the Wizard of Oz. You know, pay no attention to what's going on. We'll tell you what to think. Years ago, when people wrote books or they wrote articles, they had to take the time and the concern to put pen to paper. which basically what it told me was that they believed what they were putting down. They were taking the time and the effort to do it. Now with the mass media, with electronic media, you know, pop it out in 2 or 3 minutes, change it a little later. There's no real paper trail. No one knows what's true anymore because we're all sitting in front of this box in our living room believing everything that, you know, Dan Rather and the rest of them tell us. You know, what is history? What is the truth? Well, it's what we tell you it is, and you have no, don't question it. Just take our word for it.
We're supposed to accept what we're told, and this has been going on for decades, and yet we research to find the truth, and we find just about everything we see on the major press is nothing more than lie after lie after lie. Correct, Don?
Well, and, you know, sometimes it's easy to lump everything into the category of a lie, but then also it's really, in many cases, it's just a matter of perspective. We happen to approach life from the viewpoint that people are born with a certain amount of dignity and that they have rights to life, liberty, happiness, etc., and that we should all be educated, self-reliant, self-responsible, and capable of making intelligent and informed choices about everything in our lives. But the folks who are spinning all of this stuff on us have a completely different perspective from which they view humanity. They view them, us, as resources to be exploited, and that is either row crops to be harvested or weeds to be killed, and that we are merely tools of the state. We have no dignity of our own, and that we are to be used to forward the interests of the state. So is it really lies that they're telling, or is it just an editorial spin on events and facts and figures that are more in keeping with their outlook on the way the world should be, and particularly how people should be treated?
If you look back 30, 35 years ago, you know, Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin, the other things that we were told, then we can clearly see that much of it was more than spin. Much of it was lies to perpetuate and propagate their agenda to push it forward. You know, and intelligence and education, you know, you're not born with it. You've got to grow it. You've got to nurture it. You've got to feed it. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people now, and at times myself included, we're not able to think clearly. You know, you've got so much garbage that to really find the truth, to be able to base your whole outlook on it, you've got to have a desire to look for it. And people are so consumed right now with making their living. And, you know, 12 hours of most people's days are to put food and water on the table and to pay the mortgage payment. The rest of it is sleeping. And what time they do have left, they're entertaining themselves to death, watching football and basketball and, you know, what's going on in my soap opera and all the rest of the garbage. So, you know, they've got the majority of people where they want them, fat, dumb, and stupid, and they're going to go along with this whole game.
Well, you don't have any disagreement on this end.
Well, I'm losing y'all, so I'll let you go. Thank
John,
you.
John, I appreciate your participation, John.
Thanks, John.
Here we see Republicans, someone sent this to me, Republicans are getting ready to cut Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, etc. Democrats are crying about how terrible the Republicans are. The people in both parties are lying. They all voted for the trade agreements that are destroying our economy and our country. Globalization, free trade agreements, WTO, NAFTA, CAFTA, MFN for China are really managed trade agreements that pick the multinationals as the winners and our domestic economy as the losers. The coup de grace on our economy was when George Bush signed the trade agreement with Vaishapi of India to trade away our knowledge jobs. When the jobs leave, so does the tax base, which is a very interesting perspective. Here we are with these trade agreements being engineered and movement of natural persons for jobs. It's a big monster that we have today, and that's the problem.
Well, yeah, one is hard-pressed to find a policy that has come down from D.C., whether it's Republican or Democrat or whatever. I view them all pretty much as the same party, the Destroy America Party, pretty much. But you'd be pretty hard-pressed to find one policy that has been implemented over the last several decades that was intended to strengthen this country. They may sell it that way, but each one of them, and they're quite astute at the long-range planning and what the cause and effects of their policies are going to be, but over the long term, we're seeing how all of these things that they've done have been absolutely detrimental and destructive of the American dream and the Constitutional Republic and the individual lives of every single American that's still able to draw breath without the help of some kind of a mechanical device.
Well, Don, I certainly appreciate your presence on the broadcast today.
It's been good to be here, John. Thanks for having me. Chris, I'm sorry. I had to talk to John Stadler on the break, so yeah, I had him on my mind. But no, it's good to be here, Chris, and thank you very much for having me.
We'll continue this in the future. Thank you again.
Very good. Thanks.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer listeners. How about the joint statement between the U.S. and India dated November 9th, 2001, 2 days before the dropping of the World Trade Center towers in Building Number 7 and the fictitious airliner that went into the Pentagon. We'll be back with this. Stay with us. Okay, welcome back to the broadcast. As Saddam Hussein, the perspective Saddam Hussein, who's being up on the tribunal today, is it the real Saddam Hussein, according to certain sources, one of his wives or his wife, I don't know how many wives he had, has made a statement that that's not the real Saddam Hussein that's on trial. I don't know what to say, but it's being covered by the major media right now. CNN, I call it the Communitarian News Network, CNN. Okay, so dated November 9th of 2001, listeners, November 9th of 2001, a joint statement between the U.S. and India coming from the White House now. It's a joint statement between the United States of America and the Republic of India. Since September 11th, the people of the United States and India have been united as never before in the fight against terrorism. In so doing, they have together reaffirmed the enduring ties between both nations and the importance of further transforming the U.S.-India relationship. In their meeting, President Bush and Prime Minister Vajpayee discussed ways to accelerate progress towards these goals. They noted that both countries are targets of terrorism, as seen in the barbaric attacks on September 11th in the United States and October 1st in Kashmir. They agreed that terrorism threatens not only the security of the United States and India, but also our efforts to build freedom, democracy, and international security and stability around the world. Ouch. As leaders of the two largest multicultural democracies, they emphasized that those who equate terrorism with any religion are as wrong as those who evoke religion to commit, support, or justify terrorist attacks. How bizarre is that? The two leaders remember the victims of the many nationalities in the terrorist attacks on September 11th and agreed that all appropriate steps should be taken to bring the perpetrators to justice while protecting the lives and welfare of the people affected by these efforts. They noted that both countries are providing humanitarian assistance to the people of Afghanistan. They affirmed the current campaign against the Al-Qaeda network and the Taliban in Afghanistan as an important step in a global war against terrorism and its sponsors everywhere in the world. They recognize that the international community will have to wage a long and multifaceted struggle against terrorism with patience, determination, and unwavering focus. They emphasize that there is only one choice and only one outcome. Terrorism must be fought and shall be defeated. Now, once again, as we pause here, what's the ultimate goal here, listeners, out of terrorism? And what is the ultimate definition of terrorism? And once again, I refer to Joan Vion's book, The Global Straitjacket, which is quite incriminating about what they plan for the human race. Regarding the biodiversity treaty that Bill Clinton brought into this country through the President's Commission on Sustainable Development, which is the process to implementing the biodiversity treaty. And she says this treaty will move human beings by 2025 into protected islands in which they will not be able to get out or move from. These islands will be surrounded by corridors and buffer zones. And that map is on our website of the United States of America. And every country has a biodiversity treaty. Every country has a biodiversity map. So India has the same situation. So under the guise of terrorism, people are going to be maneuvered into sustainable communities. The fact of the matter is we have the Global Fire Monitoring Center that nobody knows about. It's on our website, the Global Fire Monitoring Center, to monitor all the fires in the world as a last resort to burn people off their land to get them to move to these sustainable communities that Joan Vion described in her book back in 1999. So President, I continue with this White House statement on November 9th of 2001. President Bush and Prime Minister Vajpayee agreed that success in this endeavor would depend heavily on building international cooperation and securing the unambiguous commitment to all nations to share information and intelligence on terrorists and deny them support, sustenance, and safe havens. The two leaders agreed to consult regularly on the future of Afghanistan. They welcomed the measures outlined in the UNSCR 1373 and called on all nations to ratify and implement existing UN conventions on counterterrorism. UN conventions on counterterrorism, I see. We've covered this in the past. They expressed support for India's draft comprehensive convention on international terrorism and urged the resolution of outstanding issues to enable its adoption by the UNGA. The leader of the two countries expressed satisfaction. The leaders of the two countries expressed satisfaction with the progress made in India-U.S. cooperation on counterterrorism, including the Joint Working Group on Counterterrorism established in January 2000. They reaffirmed their personal commitment and that of their two countries to intensify bilateral cooperation as a critical element in the global effort against terrorism. They also announced the establishment of a joint cyber-terrorism initiative. Prime Minister Vajpayee and President Bush agreed that developments in Afghanistan have a direct impact on its entire neighborhood. They emphasized that the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda network have turned Afghanistan into a center of terrorism, extremism, and drug trafficking and have brought immense suffering to the people of Afghanistan. I'll continue with this as we wrap this up. It's vital information about outsourcing of U.S. jobs, very subtly done. Stay with us. Welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. We have a caller or two, I believe, but let me complete this statement. President Bush and Prime Minister Vajpayee also affirmed their commitment to complete the progress of qualitatively transforming U.S.-India relations in pursuit of their many common goals in Asia and beyond. They agreed that the U.S.-India relations draw strength from the broad political support that exists in both democracies. They expressed satisfaction at the high level of engagement and progress in bilateral cooperation over the last 10 months. In particular, they reiterated their support for the wide-ranging bilateral dialogue architecture established in March of 2000. The two leaders agreed that recent lifting of economic, military, and technology restrictions on India provides a further impetus to bilateral relations. They welcome the resumption of the Bilateral Defense Policy Group as a step towards increasing exchanges and technical cooperation in the defense and security areas. They noted that India's interest in purchasing arms from the United States would be discussed at the Defense Policy Group meetings in December 2001. The two leaders agreed to pursue policies to enhance the mutually beneficial and growing economic and commercial ties between their nations. There it is, listeners. The outsourcing of U.S. jobs to India right there. They also agreed to expand a bilateral economic dialogue and to broaden dialogue and cooperation in the areas of energy, the environment, health, space, export controls, science and technology, including biotechnology and information technology. They agreed that the two sides should discuss ways to stimulate bilateral high-technology commerce. They also agreed that they should begin a dialogue between the two governments with a view towards evaluating the processes by which we transfer dual-use and military items with a view towards greater transparency and efficiency. In addition, the United States and India have a mutual interest in space and have agreed to initiate discussions on civil space cooperation. As America starves, as India starves, they want to spend more money on space, listeners. The two leaders expressed confidence that enhancing their cooperation in all these areas will go far towards building a long-term partnership between the United States and India that will greatly affect citizens of both their nations. In the movement of natural persons, the negotiating group on the movement of natural persons from the WTO, the World Trade Organization, listeners, this is a boondoggle that we're living with today. The outsourcing of American jobs, it's a disaster in the making. And who do we have here? Do we have John in New York? Is that who we have?
Yes.
Hello, John.
How you doing? Just kind of a cute thing. If Saddam Hussein can do the same as George Bush, he was found guilty of mass destruction, wasn't he? And, I mean, he's out walking and talking and running our country. I don't see why they shouldn't, what they're worrying about that Constitution over there for.
Well, I'm certain that George Bush and his coalition, which is part of the U.N. system, are responsible for more deaths than Saddam Hussein ever dreamed of.
Right. Also, did you hear that George Bush and Mr. Clinton got together and they made a patent on a name in July?
You're talking about George Herbert Walker Bush?
No. Mr. Bush.
George Walker Bush?
No. Bush, too.
Okay, George Walker Bush. Go ahead.
Okay. And they got a patent on the name. The name that they got a patent on, so they could, you know, anybody using the name, they could hit them for it. And the name they patented was the Katrina Fund.
It wasn't the Bush Clinton Katrina Fund.
Well, it was done in July, anyhow.
I believe it was done on June 14th.
Or June 14th?
Yeah, I believe that was done on June 14th, long before Katrina happened. It was the Bush Clinton Katrina Fund, is what it was. And it was done on June 14th of this year, long before Katrina hit.
Is that on your website?
Not on my website that I know of, although Dennis is aware of it.
Okay.
I don't know whether it's on our website or not.
June 14th. And also, it was like today, Clinton got a $5 million check in Alberta, Canada, you know, another little graft up there.
He did.
For the Katrina.
He did?
Yes.
Well, was it publicized?
It was on the radio.
I see. A $5 million donation to the Clinton Bush Katrina Fund?
Well, the Katrina Fund in general. I don't know if it's a Clinton Bush. I just could tell you for Katrina.
I see.
He was gratified and thanked him. And just, you know, another poke in the hole, I guess.
Listen, John, do you know that, you know, the stock car race cars, stock car NASCAR, do you know about NASCAR?
Yes.
Do you know that they have a United Way NASCAR now?
Only kidding.
Yeah, there's a United Way NASCAR. I'm not sure who drives it. I'm not sure how well it's been qualifying to be in the races, but there is a United Way NASCAR.
Geez, they're going to have to play dirty. It's probably got oilers on it. It's got to have guns on it and everything else. I mean, there's subordinates and everything else going on with that car.
It's two shades of UN blue.
They better watch it.
And the whole deal about it is to support the Katrina relief effort.
That's what it's
promoting.
Mass murder.
So your donations at work for NASCAR and the United Way, isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yep.
Well, I thought I had a little on you, but I guess I don't. But geez, thanks for the information.
I appreciate your thoughts, John. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
This is just amazing that Bush and Clinton in their endeavors. Larry Nichols said Bill Clinton's not going to go away. Obviously, Bill Clinton is not going to go away. He already has prominence in the UN system now, taking care of the tsunami relief effort. He's in charge of tsunami relief, Bill Clinton. And so there you have it. The situations are very, very obvious that he's not going anywhere. And there's the crux of the problem, people. We are messed up in a maneuvering direction that continues to buffoon us and baffle us in many respects that don't pay attention to the real news. And some real news is the fact that on October 16th, the United Nations is at it again with another gun ban, and they want to prevent civilian ownership of certain weapons. They want to prevent the buildup of private arsenals. They want to license all users, register all small arms, implement safe storage requirements, inspections in your home, with power to take your guns. Well, gee, the UN system, listeners. They want to limit the carrying of guns. And they want to restrict ammunition sales to license holders only. So this is going on at the United Nations system. I'm not sure what the draft resolution was from the UN about small arms. But there you have it again. More maneuvering to manipulate us about the situation that's going on with the firearms. And keep in mind, it all goes back to the State Department. State Department Publication 7277 from 1961, where our military is downsizing, the Soviet Union's military is downsizing, and upgrading the UN military, which we are a major part of now. Russia's a major part of now. China's a major part of now. China and Russia working together hand in hand. As a matter of fact, here I see this article. China-Russia issued joint statement on New World Order. And that's a printout. And here we see, dated July 2nd, out of the Oklahoman, Beijing-Moscow warn against domination. Russia and China warned other nations Friday against attempts to dominate global affairs and interfere in the domestic issues of sovereign nations, in what appeared to be a veiled expression of their irritation with U.S. policy. I see. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, China basically owns our country economically, I'm sorry to say. President Vladimir Putin and Xu Jiantao signed a joint declaration after 2 days of talks calling for a stronger United Nations role in global affairs and opposing attempts, quote, to impose models of social and political development from outside, end quote. Well, see, this coalition is blamed on George Bush, and his ratings are the lowest of any president in any time in history, according to the Communitarian News Network. CNN. His ratings are lower than any time in history, than any president in history, apparently, according to them. But yet, this is a coalition. The UN is over there. The Communist Party of Iraq is there. We instilled the Communist Party of Iraq. We allowed the Communist Party of Iraq to build and show itself. And it's on our website, AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K, not a C. So once again, you see how these maneuvers are going on. And this publication or piece of work coming from, what is this source? ThePeoplesDaily.com. China, Russia issued joint statement on New World Order. They issue a joint statement on the New World Order in the 21st century, setting forth their common stand on major international issues such as UN reforms, globalization, North-South cooperation, and world economy and trade. What are they talking about? The WTO, World Economy and Trade. The statement was signed by Russian President Putin and visiting Chinese President Hu Jintao after their talks. During their talks, the two leaders discussed ways to further enhance the strategic and cooperative partnership between China and Russia and exchange views on major regional and international issues. Now, Rumsfeld was just with the leader of China or a representative of China because we're concerned about the military buildup of communist China. That was discussed on the news this morning. So here we see all this maneuvering and manipulation. But it all comes into the UN system, and is all part of this UN system, the global dominance, and yet we're the Fourth Reich of the rich in America. Our military is doing the work that Adolf Hitler did at one time to turn the world against us. And this is all being blamed on George Bush and his war. Well, the case is quite different when you connect the dots to the coalition and all the countries involved in the coalition. And you can search out this on our website. It's all to be researched by you that have that ability. Those that don't have the ability, I'm sorry, you are in some situations where you really can't get too much documentation about what is going on. But that is unfortunate to have. The more the merrier. UN ready to take over in Iraq. We have this on our site, and we'll pull it up. The maneuvering and manipulation is everywhere to behold. Also, oh boy, you have from the UN system the multilateralism and regionalism, enhancing integration of developing countries into the multilateral trading system through regionalism. This is very, very vital information, and they connect dots. Then we see the regionalism and the United Nations. This is dated November 20th to the 23rd of 2004. It's a UNU global seminar. And regionalism had to be a fulfilled item to connect the dots to Agenda 21 and bring that into place. They say here, 50 years ago, when the Bretton Woods institutions were set up, a central policy challenge facing post-war countries was how to prevent a return to protectionism, they call it. Protectionism. In other words, sovereignty is protectionism in their eyes. They do use the word sovereignty to connect dots, to connect goals, but it's all about control of countries. A policy choice had led countries into the Great Depression in the 1930s and a decade later into the Second World War. Since those dark days, world trade has increased by more than 50-fold, a key indicator of the extent to which countries have become integrated and interdependent. This aspect, together with currently improved living standards, in many ways is a testament to the many successes achieved by the international trading system, the birth of the World Trade Organization, and the achievements that followed in the early years brought about further changes, and it goes on and on and on. The point is, in order for Agenda 21 to come into place, regionalism had to be a done deal. So this is the scenario that we have today, the mess in place. UN ready to take over in Iraq. It doesn't seem to come up for me. So I apologize. That's not able to be done on the website. We can't connect that dot. But we certainly can, hopefully, connect to the... page is not found. So evidently this is going to have to be redone. We don't have a positive webmaster yet. It's needed, and we're working on it, or I'm working on it, and we're going to try and make that happen and make it more friendly for you to connect dots to what's going on. Here we see demonstrations of Iraq Freedom Congress, people calling for USA to go out. There is no security and stability without ending the occupation. That's from the Worker Communist Party of Iraq. Yep. And here we see the Norway branch demonstration from the, once again, it's the Worker Communist Party of Iraq. And they want to have no to imposition of a discriminatory constitution, no to Islamic constitution, yes to separation of religion from the state. And I can't disagree with that, I'm sorry to say. Yes to separation of religion from the state. Quite amazing information. The message of the organization of a broad Worker Communist Party of Iraq to September 24th demonstrations against war and militarism. World needs no police. Well, we can't disagree with that. From Baghdad and Basra to Europe, America, and Australia, we stand a united rank and announce in one voice, no to the international terrorism and crimes of America and NATO. And once again, how can we disagree with that, listeners? How can we disagree with the Workers' Communist Party of Iraq? We want to bring our troops home. So the Hegelian dialectic is being maneuvered and manipulated as Hurricane Wilma is getting quite angry, according to the news. So here we see a message of the Organization of Abroad Worker Communist Party of Iraq to September 24th demonstrations against war and militarism. The world needs no police. How can we disagree with that? We don't want to be the peacekeepers of the world, do we? And yet we are, because of the control of the IMF and the Treasury Department, commanding and directing the implementation of that maneuver of the UN system. Any question? Parting shot? 800-313-9443. I should be with John in the next hour. Stay with us. Okay, we're back, and keep this in mind now. I'm going to take a 30-minute break. I will be with John Stadmiller at the bottom of the hour, the next hour. I will be with him in the bottom of the next hour. I'll take a 30-minute break, listeners. And here we see, from Baghdad and Basra to Europe, America and Australia, we stand a united rank and announce in one voice, no to the international terrorism and crimes of America and NATO, which engulf the world today. The world is turned to a field for genocide and massacres, which too often claims the lives of innocent and defenseless people. Now, isn't this absolutely remarkable, coming from the Worker Party of the Worker Communist Party of Iraq? Hardly there is anyone today who believes that the USA war in Iraq has brought freedom and human rights. This war has revived reactionary forces and ushered them to the fore from the caves of the Dark Ages. It has brought misguidance and ant-working class forces and installed them rulers in the Iraqi society. It has not brought security, but rather it has turned the society into a jungle in the true sense of the world. This war has not put an end to terrorism. It has aggravated terrorism, and certainly we have common sense to realize that, yeah, this is the case too. But who's supplying the terrorists with their weapons? Russia and communist China, I ask. It has given a huge momentum to Islamic terrorism worldwidely, it says. This war put the whole world under the reign of terrorists, and the state terrorism led by America and NATO on the hand, and the terrorism of political Islam on the other hand. Today it is more obvious than any other time that this war was not to protect us against the weapons of mass destruction. These were all mere excuses to launch this aggression on the society. Okay, so the bottom line is you go to look at this on our website, listeners, and connect these dots. Let's go to Fred in Philadelphia real quickly as we
talk. Hi, Chris.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Chris. The biggest story that I have seen recently, I know you've covered some big ones, but this one is big. Strategic Communication Laboratories is a company headquartered in London, England, that has essentially the ability to override television, radio, internet, and telephone telecommunications for its clients. It's considered a consulting company, and it boasts about this in Jane's Defense Weekly.
Now, Fred, what are you doing tomorrow at this time slot? Are you able to call in tomorrow about this?
I'll call John today.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
Yes, I'll call your show tomorrow.
Let's continue with these directions, and you're welcome to call John's show about this, because this is vital information, and we're out of time.
Okay.
But Fred,
I spoke to John on Monday, and I think he knows about it. He said he knows about it. I'd like someone to cover it immediately because I think this is not like one of these corruption stories. This has to do with something that ties in other stories.
I appreciate that, Fred. And let's continue this tomorrow and maybe next hour.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. And listeners, I'm done for now. I'll be back in 30 minutes with John Stadmiller and more. Stay tuned. Good afternoon for now. Thank you.